Thank you, brother. It's a real privilege for me to be here with you. And I do thank the Lord for you, for this fellowship. Am I speaking too loud? I see I feel a rip. I'm not? Technology, but it's I count it a real privilege, and it's just a real joy to be here with you at this time, and just to see everyone. And I do thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for you. I thank the Lord for this church. What the Lord is doing here. What a marvelous work of grace, and thank the Lord for your pastor and his friendship. And I do count each and every one of you my dear friends. I want to ask you to open your Bibles. While you're opening your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, I do need to say this. I am so thankful for your love, I guess, as I've said, your love and concern for us, and we love you also, but your faithful support of the work in Mexico over these 21 years, and we do look forward to the times when you come to visit us, and it's a great privilege and blessing to have you there, and to the church there sends their greeting. The church in Merida, the church in Yobaina, the church in Cancun. So they send their greetings. I could tell you in Spanish. Les mandamos saludos. But this morning I want to bring a message from 1 Corinthians. And I pray the Lord will make it a blessing to each one of us. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, as it would speak to us, this church. We are saved by the grace of God. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ are made partakers of the divine nature. We rejoice, and the Lord has shed abroad his love in our heart, and we would, if we could, live without sin in this world. But we have this battle. We have this constant battle with the flesh. And the flesh raises up its ugly head in many different ways. And one of these ways that it raises itself up is in envy and strife, division. And the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul writing to them, he said, I hear there's division among you. I hear there's division. He said, this is flesh. You're acting like carnal men, or at the very least, like children, like babes in Christ. Because when I came to preach to you, I did not preach myself. I hear some people saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, and others saying, I'm of Christ. And Paul said, what? Did I come preaching in my name? Did you believe in Paul? Were you saved by Paul? Did I baptize you in my name? You know I'm paraphrasing, you know the text. I didn't baptize you in my name. I'm not looking to seek followers after myself, and no true preacher of the gospel is looking to seek followers after himself. The Apostle Paul said, we preach Christ ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. We don't preach ourselves. We preach the Word of God. The Apostle Paul says in verse 17 of that chapter 1, he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, I didn't baptize many of you. He mentions a few that he remembered. One, he just about forgot and said, oh, I think I did baptize family. But he said, I didn't baptize. I wasn't sent to baptize. I wasn't sent to make followers after myself. I was sent to preach the gospel, the word of God, the word of the cross. And I didn't come preaching in wisdom of words. I came preaching the word of the cross. The word of the cross is the message God is saying to this world about who He is and about who we are and about how man can be reconciled to God. There is no salvation apart from the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The preaching of the cross. And this preaching of the cross, men preach it in the ability and in the power that the Lord gives them to preach, but they're always preaching the same message. Some are like Apollos, who is an eloquent orator. Did I say that right? And others speak like me. But God uses His word. God uses His word. And it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To those who are not the people of God, the preaching of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, they just soon not hear it. They just soon not hear it. It's foolishness. But to those who are the elect of God, to those that are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. It's that message by which God has given us life. And the evidence of that life is the faith, the gift of God, by which we lay hold on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. It's His faith that saves us. We believe in Him to be saved by the faith or the faithfulness, the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience unto death. But now the Apostle Paul is all the time is saying this, and I don't want to forget saying it because I'm going through the text. You're acting like children, he said to the Corinthians. You're acting like children. Because you're divided over men. You're divided over men. About the way they say things. He said, for it is written. I didn't come preaching in the wisdom of words because it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. God has determined that the wisdom of this world is He's going to overturn it. He is going to overturn it. Man cannot understand, cannot see the kingdom of God, cannot understand the word of God, can't enter into it with their natural abilities and natural understanding. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He's quoting from Isaiah 29, verse 14. God has determined that if I could, by reading the Scriptures, or any man, by reading the Scriptures, simply reading them, as if that was a formula to put you into the kingdom of heaven, I dare say we would have everybody reading it, wouldn't we? We would have everybody reading it. But people read it all the time and do not understand what it says. People read it all the time, and what they get out of it is recipes on how to behave, how to dress, how to eat, how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to enter into, how to please God by what you do. God is determined to destroy the wisdom of the wise. And to bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the prudent? Where is the disputer? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? Religion, and that's all that man can produce, is religion. Religion without the revelation of Jesus Christ, the religion is darkness. It's darkness. Without Christ, it is darkness. There's no light in it. The Lord said this, if the light that be in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If that light, men know by nature there is a God. But the most honest thing they could say is, I know there's a God and I don't know who He is. That's the most honest thing a person could say. I know there's a God. There's a conscience in me that cries out, there's a God. But I don't know who He is. That person has candlelight. And if you would walk in that light, really be honest and say, I don't know who God is. If you would walk in that light, God give him more light. I do believe. I do believe. But man says, I know there's a God and I think. That's it. He's gone after his own way. He's gone. When he says, I think, he's like this. He's gone after his own way. And God will leave him in his own darkness. Unless God in mercy brings him out of that darkness and says, you stop thinking, is what God says. Stop thinking. Let the wicked forsake his ways. The unrighteous his thoughts. Let him turn to God. That's repentance. But anyway, religion without Christ is darkness, not light. Natural man who think they are wise can neither see nor understand the kingdom of God, can neither see nor understand the message of the cross. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It has to be revealed. And that is the mystery of iniquity that is spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The mystery of iniquity is this. Men are religious and all the time they're thinking they're doing a favor to God. And all the time that they think they're doing a thing for God, they're wicked. That's the mystery of iniquity. The Lord said many will come into that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? And have we done all these wonderful things in your name? Look at all the good works we've done. And the Lord said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Well, verse 20 of 1 Corinthians says this, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It's the wisdom of God that man cannot know God by their own wisdom. But notice this, it pleased God. Boy, aren't we thankful for that. God wanted to. It pleased God by what men call foolishness, what the natural reasoning calls foolishness. People that know you come and worship God and hear this gospel, especially this gospel, it's the only gospel. They wouldn't think you were foolish if you were going to these places where they have you jumping in the aisles and doing all kinds of good works and stuff. That they're doing something. It kind of fits with their understanding. But to come here and sit and listen, sing, and then turn around and go out and come back next week and do the same thing, you're not doing anything. That's foolishness. That's what they say. This is foolishness because they can't see it. They can't see the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't worship Him. But to you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, this is not foolish. This is food. This is rejoicing. This is comfort. It pleased God that in the wisdom of God, man did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That is the means by which God is going to call His people, through the preaching of the gospel. By God's grace, because of He commanded us, we're going to go throughout the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As much as He gives us the means to do so. The word is going out all over the world right now, and especially over the internet. People see it all over the place, and they hear. It's God's means by which He's going to save His people. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the message of Christ, who He is the power of God and the wisdom of God. It was not only the power of God to give us life, to give us faith. We see how God can save sinners. God cannot, and I say this with reverence, but there's things that God cannot do. He cannot deny Himself. God cannot be contrary to His own holy nature. God cannot overlook sin without ceasing to be God. In other words, God cannot let sin go by without punishment, without being ceasing to be God. He would cease to be just. But we see the power of God, the wisdom of God the wisdom of God to place all His people in one representative. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad about the representation of Adam? When Adam sinned, all that you are a sinner in Adam. People say, I don't like that. Oh, wait a minute. I love that. I love that. Because through one, Jesus Christ, we're made righteous. I see the power of God. How that God could be just and justify the ungodly in Jesus Christ. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both the Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise, not many after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now I've gotten to the message now. Here's what God has chosen. It is determined that no flesh should glory in His presence. The Apostle Paul is saying, I hear there's division among you, because one says, I'm of Paul, one says, I'm of Apollos, and one says, I'm of Peter. God has determined that no flesh should glory in His presence, and you're glorying in men. You're fleshly. That's what he's saying. Glorying in man is fleshly. It's pride. You know, people like to be puffed up. I like what you said at the beginning. I don't like to brag on people. That's good. If there's anything in me, or anything in this man, or anything in that man worth saying, God did it. Is that not so? It's God that did it. No flesh should glory in His presence. But notice the word, but of Him. It's but of Him. In other words, you didn't believe the gospel because you heard the Apostle Paul declare it. You didn't grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ because you heard the eloquence of Apollos. You're not founded and rooted because you're hearing Peter preach. You're born of God because God chose you. But of God are you in Christ Jesus. Of God, He gets the glory. I was going to save this in that illustration for later, but I'm going to say it right now. This is a beautiful pulpit here, but we could have any furniture, this desk, down front, any of the pews. And you say, oh, that's beautiful. And I say, I agree, it's beautiful. But here we have the desk and or a table, and over here we have some a hammer and some saws. And it's a wood, and or just the instruments. And if the table could talk, or if this pulpit could talk, and say, I'm of the hammer. I know this is going to sound funny, stupid, but that's exactly what, can I use that word? This part of the wood says, well, I'm of the saw. And this one says, well, I'm not of the hammer, I'm not of the saw, I'm of the sandpaper. You'd think, well, that sounds silly, that sounds foolish. What are these, if it could talk, that's exactly, the hammer didn't do it, the hammer's an instrument. The sandpaper didn't do it, it's an instrument. You see, even the boards themselves, I'm of oak, I'm of pine. Even the boards themselves didn't make themselves. But of the carpenter are you in this pulpit. But of, in other words, who is it that puts you in Christ? Who is it that establishes you in Christ? We're just instruments. You didn't even put yourself in Christ. So you can't glory in yourself as if you had some superior nobility or thoughts and capacity to understand. You didn't do it. God put you in Christ Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, God chose His people. Not because He saw there was some value in them. You think, well, this is really pretty. It wasn't pretty at one time. It was gnarly. And God's people are sinners. We all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. None that doeth good. None that understandeth. We all went astray in our father Adam in rebellion against God and would not have God. But the reason now you're in Christ Jesus, the reason now you love God, the reason now you have the power to become the sons of God, puts you in Christ. That's why. In election, God puts you in Christ by faith. God puts you in Christ, gave you to Him, and gave Him to you. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus. That's the place of salvation. It's not knowing about Christ. It's not knowing about Christ, although we do know. We don't. Faith is not ignorant. We do know. I know whom I have believed. We know who Christ is. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is God. We know this. But how do we know this? We were placed in Christ. And Christ is made unto us. Christ, when we were placed in Christ, we were given to Christ into His hands. Christ is made to His people. You see, they were talking about, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, making distinctions of being among men. I like the way Apollos talks, and I understand him better. Well, if you understand anything, it's because the Holy Spirit gives you understanding. If you understand anything, it's because You were placed in Christ, and Christ is your wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God, and Christ has made unto us wisdom. Not that we heard it from a man that spoke it in a certain way, or the Apostle Peter. Paul was a studied man. He went at the feet of Gamaliel, but Peter was just a fisherman. And those that were in the religious crowd, they recognized that, and they said, these are fishermen. Where do they have this learning? Because they were confounding them with the understanding of the Scriptures. Who gave them that wisdom? How is it they could see Jesus Christ? How is it that they could see Jesus and say, this Jesus is the fulfillment of all that God said in the Old Testament concerning the Son of God that would come? And do it with such power that the Lord manifested His power and people came. Wasn't because Peter was saying it. It's because God put those people in Christ, just like God put you in Christ. And gave you, made Christ unto you wisdom. The Apostle John says this, we have an unction from the Spirit, unction from on high. That is, when God the Father gave his Son a people, we were given to Christ. When we hear the gospel, when God's people hear the gospel, when they believe, that's after the fact that God already gave them life. After the fact that God already gave them life. Ooh, I got to hurry. We have an unction from the Spirit. What that means, and we use this term, resonates. You know, you have a tuning fork, and whenever you... How does that work? You know, I'm going to talk about something I don't know, but I've heard about it. You got a tuning fork, and you bang it, and you put it up something, and when it starts sounding, it corresponds, right? That frequency comes over. I know a little bit, just enough to confuse everybody. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit indwelling a believer gives testimony. This is the Word of God. This is the truth. This is the truth. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is that wisdom. Is that wisdom. God gave you wisdom. God gave you Christ. Wisdom to know the true and living God. That's why when you hear a lie, you don't follow it. You don't follow the lie because that's not it. That doesn't glorify my Father. That doesn't glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no resonance there. That's not it. You hear works? Uh-uh. That's not it. Who gave you that? God gave you that. The wisdom to know God. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know who the true God is. There's a lot of false gods being preached all over the world. A lot of false gods being made up in man's mind. It's a factory of false gods. Every thought and imagination of man that is not what God first says of himself is an idol. But of him, don't glory in men. Thank God he gave you the understanding. Thank God he gave you the wisdom of Christ. The wisdom to be able to understand who God is, who Christ is, how he saves sinners. Not only wisdom, righteousness. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us righteousness. Justice. God has made us wisdom, in Christ has made us wisdom to understand that the only justice that exists, the only righteousness, that's what the word righteousness is justice. God has made unto us Christ wisdom so that we know that the only righteousness that exists before God is the righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ did when he was in this earth. He's the only one that has ever pleased the Father. So that we're not trying to establish our own righteousness before God. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Who gave you that wisdom to know that? To say, don't bring that. I'm not going to talk about my righteousness. I'm going to talk only about the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness. Who gave you that wisdom? Who gave you that wisdom to shun that? Boy, that's just up the alley of a natural man. A natural man, you want to get on his good side? Start talking good about him. Isn't that right? Start talking good about him, and his head will just start swelling. You know, before you long, you have to put strings on him, pull him down. Head's so big. Men like that. But you start talking good about a believer that is not the Lord Jesus Christ working that in, he said, wait a minute, that's not it. That's not right. That's not right. That's not me. The grace of God in me. Who gave you that wisdom? The Lord Jesus Christ. God made you wisdom to understand that the only righteousness, that the only way that God could see us righteous is by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in the Lord Jesus Christ not only how He's the only one that fulfilled righteousness, established right doing, obeying God's holy law here in the earth, but also He's the one that's put away the sins of His people. All my sins were laid on Him. All my sins were laid on Him. And I understand. I understand because Christ has revealed this, that He has put away sin. He has honored and satisfied God's justice. God's justice. Not only wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Sanctification. There's a group of people that talk about progressive sanctification. You know that's not true. Progressive sanctification. Anytime a person talks about progressive sanctification, you know what they're talking about? They're talking about going to the law. That's the only way you can measure that, is by going to the law and say, well, I stopped doing that. Put the check mark on that. That's the only way you could. God's people grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but our sanctification is complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ, He has with one sacrifice perfected forever them that are sanctified, those chosen people. One offering. He put away their sins and made us saints, made us holy, made us holy. Jesus Christ is our righteousness and our sanctification. That is to say, this is not a cooperation. That's another people that talk about progressive sanctification, people talk about cooperation or collaboration with God. You know, we do some works to help out. Christ is our wisdom to know that in Christ Jesus we are complete. The Apostle Paul warns the Colossians of this and says, don't be beguiled, don't be deceived. Men bringing in these messages of the problem is they're not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. They're I'm going to have to read it. It's Colossians chapter 2. He said, beware lest any spoil you with through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in Him, in Christ Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. There's nothing lacking. The wisdom of God teaches us there's nothing like Him. We're complete in righteousness. We're complete in sanctification. Oh, and here's the last one here. We're complete in redemption. Oh, my, what a wonderful thing. Christ Jesus has made unto us redemption. We have the wisdom of God, know that this is not our world. This is not our home. When Christ redeemed His people, He paid for all their sins and set us free. But listen, are you free from sin right now, from the actual practice of sin? No. But one day you will be. How is that? Do you have the wisdom to know that that's when Christ comes? It's not going to be right here. In this flesh, there's no good thing. While we're in this world, we're going to battle. Apostle Paul said, I wrestle. Battle. I have this continual conflict. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. There's no end to this battle. But when the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed His people, He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from the power of sin. One of these days He's going to redeem us from the very presence of sin. He redeemed us not only our soul and our spirit, but our body. We know this. Christ has made unto us wisdom. We're waiting for that day when He comes back. When He comes back and calls all His people to be risen from the dead in a glorified body like unto His body. Oh, what will that day be? See who you're supposed to be glorying in. See who you're supposed to be glorying in. It's crazy for a death to be thinking, well, I'm of the hammer. And it's foolishness. It's like children. It sounds like a children's tale, doesn't it? Well, that's what it sounds like when God's people start glorying anybody that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. As it is written, let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. May the Lord bless this word. Thank you, brethren, for your friendship. I thank the Lord for you. And I thank the Lord for your friendship. But I thank you for putting up with me.
When by the grace of God we are enabled to see that of God are we in Christ. How mysterious that I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I've always been in Christ. There's never been a time when I wasn't in Christ. Who in the world can explain something like that? Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. And this is what I want to hear every time I hear the gospel preached. I need to be reminded of this. Christ is my wisdom. Christ is my personal righteousness. Jesus Christ Himself is my holiness. Somebody says, are you holy? Well, is He? Yeah, He is. Me too, then. He is my redemption. He is my complete sin payment. He is my final deliverance. And whenever you are reminded of that, what I like about that the most is it takes all the pressure off. All the pressure. All you got to do is rest. Isn't that glorious? Somebody says, well, that kind of thinking will lead to no activity. Good. Best thing for anybody in here is to quit doing stuff and look to Christ alone. May God enable. I said what I said without apology. The best thing that could ever happen to me or you is for us to quit doing stuff and look to Christ alone. Thank you for that message, brother. Let's pray. Lord, we confess of you are we in thy blessed Son. And Lord, we confess that he is our wisdom, to where you and your infinite wisdom can have fellowship with such who are wise in your Son. And Lord, we confess he is our righteousness. We confess he is our holiness. We confess he is our redemption. Lord, I ask in his name that we, every one of us, might be enabled to glory in him. In his blessed name we pray. Amen.